When Shona Murray went through a time of depression and discouragement, her father shared some good insight. This wasn't just a spiritual issue.
There are spiritual consequences, but the primary problem is emotional, physical.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Swagelmuth, author of The Quiet Place, for January 29th, 2018.
Read some words here, and you tell me if any of these describe you or if you recognize yourself in any of these words. Here we go. Overwhelmed, exhausted, depressed, panicky, stressed, burned out, broken, paralyzed, drowning, empty. Does any of that feel familiar to you? Well, if so, you're not alone. Those are some of the most common words that I hear today as I talk with women, and some of the words that some days I feel myself as I navigate my own schedule and my marriage with Robert. And so I was really encouraged to come across a recently released book that addresses some of these issues and how God can, with His grace, enable us to have a different kind of experience, one that would be more peaceful and calm and joyful and content. And, well, we're going to talk about that today with the author, Shona Murray, and her husband, Dr. David Murray. So welcome to Revive Our Hearts. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.
Thank you, Nancy. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you.
And we've now already identified you to be experts on how to have a peaceful, happy life, no problems. You've got that down, right?
We're learning still.
We've learned a lot, and we've a lot to learn. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about the Murrays. David Murray is a professor of Old Testament and Practical Theology at Puritan Reformed Seminary in Grand Rapids. He's also a pastor and a counselor. And Shona, his wife, they've been married over 25 years now. They have 5 children, and Shona has been in the past a medical doctor in family practice. She's also an author and home educating their children. And these two have, well, they're involved in a lot of ministry and a lot of practical ministry to people that I think is going to really relate to our listeners this week. David, you wrote a book not long ago called Reset, Living a Grace-Paced Life in a Burnout Culture. And now, Shona, you've written a book that's targeted a little bit more toward women that's called Refresh, Embracing a Grace-Paced Life in a World of Endless Demands. And I look at both of those covers and I think, these were written for me.
They were written for us too.
And they're written out of your journey in both cases. And I love that. I so appreciate it. So, David, you wrote about burnout, and you didn't just write about it as a seminary prof or a theoretician. You wrote about it out of some experience that you had, and Shona, you wrote your book out of some experience. So I'd like today, as we start this series, just to hear a little bit about your journey, maybe David, starting with you and this whole subject of burnout. How did you come to know something about that?
Yeah, I'm coming at this as a fellow learner, not so much as a superior teacher.
And let me just say, by the way, as you're talking, people can tell that you're not really originally from Grand Rapids.
That's right. We're from Texas, as you can tell.
Right.
Yeah.
You're
no, originally from Scotland.
From Scotland.
Yeah.
And immigrated here
10 years or so ago.
Yep. And recently both became U.S. citizens.
That's right. It was a wonderful day. We're very thankful. Feel very privileged and blessed to be U.S. citizens.
Well, we love having U.S. citizens who can talk the way that you do.
Thank you.
So wanted to just insert that. Now, go back to your burnout life there.
Yeah. Well, I was involved in ministry for many years. I love ministry. That's one of the problems of ministry. It's so enjoyable, Nancy. I'm sure you identify with that.
I do get that.
And so at times you've actually got to practice self-denial so that you actually preserve yourself and your relationships and your health. I wasn't doing that, especially since I came over here. The number of opportunities multiplied. And over a number of years, really, had forgotten how to say no and said yes to virtually everything and still kept trying to keep a number of balls in the air, like my marriage, my family, my work. I was traveling, conferences and things like that. And God had sent me a number of warnings that I hadn't heeded. So that over maybe a course of a year or so, I had a number of health problems that should have made me pause and think. I didn't. And so eventually he really did stop me. He actually allowed me to suffer with blood clots in my legs that went to my lungs in the form of pulmonary emboli, which is fatal for a lot of people. And thankfully, Shona persuaded me, against my poorer judgment, to actually go to hospital and get checked out. That was where they found this out.
Yeah, I hear guys don't like that.
No, we didn't. My last words to her going into the hospital were, "I'm doing this for you, not for me." You know,
right?
Nice guy. But yeah, very thankful to be in there, and they diagnosed blood clots all over my lungs, which have many causes. There was nothing genetic that was found. I believe in reflection, it was stress and overwork and the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed after that, but not enough and not for long enough. And I went back to my old habits. And within 3 years, I was back in hospital with more blood clots in my lungs.
Wow.
Most people don't get one chance. I had two. And that time I thought, right, God is hunting me down and I have to listen. And that was when I think the spiritual work really went deeper. And then began to research and look into what causes this, what can I learn from this. And opportunities began to develop to actually minister to other men, many mm-hmm. of whom were in similar situations, mainly pastors. And over time, developed into this system, you might call mm-hmm. it, or method of preventing or recovering from burnout, which is really summarised in the book Reset. And in that, I share my own story and many of these men's stories and how we all together really have learned the wonderful provisions God has made to both prevent and recover from burnout and live a more grace-paced life, which has been such a joy for me and many others, because I think many of us are just trundling along in misery.
Yeah.
And
even doing good
life.
Things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's all good, but too much good.
And I want to unpack in a little bit here what you mean when you say grace-paced. Mm. But before that, Shona, you've got your own story and journey that you've been on that included the D word. It's yeah. not always easy for Christians to acknowledge
the
depression.
D word. No, and it's not easy for doctors or Christians especially to acknowledge that word. I lived my life as a child and my teens with the scripture verse, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might." I brought that into every part of my life. I was enthusiastic. I always said yes. I loved sport. I loved my studies. I loved my family. I loved the Lord above all.
Mm.
And then I finished medical school and then began working. Long hours, everything seemed to go as normal, no ups, no downs. Got married. We had two children. David finished his studies. We were in our first congregation. Everything seemed really settled, mm-hmm. happy. Both our parents were alive. And I was enjoying motherhood. I was also working part-time as a family practitioner. But during that time, our denomination went through some very tumultuous years and eventually split. And as a consequence of that, David and many other ministers had to leave our denomination, which meant saying goodbye to our beloved congregation
mm.
and move into the abyss effectively, because David at that point had no congregation to pick up from that point. However, in God's providence, he brought us to a good place again within a year and a half. We had a lovely sized congregation. Providentially, we ended up in the island that I had grown up in. And again, I worked there part time, had a couple of more children, initially two boys, then two girls. But during my fourth pregnancy, not long after I got pregnant, I began to feel strange sensations of fear and anxiety. I began to feel incredibly overwhelmed. I had begun home education. We'd been through the church split. I was now feeling overwhelming responsibility for my children, my husband, our congregation, my aging parents. And wherever there was a need, I wanted to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Where I had patients coming into the surgery, I wanted to meet their needs and do a good job. At the same time, two marriages of people very close to me broke down.
Wow.
And both couples were Christian couples. And that was devastating to me,
mm-hmm.
really devastating. And it kind of, all these stressors and pressures began to drain away my resources. But I did not stop to take cognizance. And what seemed like blows which I put behind me were chipping away at my mental health
and
my
emotional well-being. And you just kept running.
And I kept running because that's what I always did.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love running and sport and, you know, danger, you run away from it. You certainly don't stop.
And if you keep running fast enough and go hard enough, you will persevere to the end. And I really wanted to be burnt out or spent in the Lord's cause. And I felt everything I'm doing is for the Lord. Therefore, he will give me strength and I don't have to look after myself. Until gradually the physical symptoms began to develop and then I began to lose sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was exhausted, but became wide awake through the night. Became very afraid and then gradually became very afraid of God. God, who was my closest friend, felt like he was far, far away. And not only that, but that he was against me.
Wow. And did you feel that as you read the scripture?
Yes. And scriptures that should have been a comfort to me, I turned against myself. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. You know, surely you condemn yourself, God's going to condemn you more. My personality type tends to be over conscientious, so I could never satisfy my own conscience that I had ever really done a good enough job. And I began to translate that to what God is like and forgot that grace extends into your everyday life as well as in your salvation from sin. My Bible reading became so confused. I was so tired. I couldn't concentrate. I lost my appetite. I lost my joy. I felt hopeless, dark, deep darkness, as if I lost my compass. My Bible now became like a strange book that I could not emotionally connect with. I couldn't emotionally connect with God. And although I was surrounded by people like my husband and family who loved me and I loved them, I felt nothing, just cold and numb. The skies and the sea, everything around me I used to love, just pondering over and seeing God's loving, creating power in, now became like a black canvas with no connection. I don't know what divorce is like, but it almost felt what I'd imagine would be as if the love of your life literally walked out of your life and you never saw them again. I felt that this is what had happened, that God had abandoned me. And one night in particular, as I was crying out to the Lord in tears and distress, I felt as if I was dropped off a cliff and there was nothing to catch my feet and I was falling and falling and falling. And the months that ensued were very distressing and very dark. And it was around that time I opened up to David and said, my life is over. I feel like a ship smashed on the rocks. Whatever my life was about before, I can't take another step forward. It's over. There's no point in it. But I was 12 weeks pregnant and I had these children and my husband I was responsible for, and I did not know how to put one foot in front of the other. But God took me through these days in various ways, and it's a miracle. And I think so much of our lives are a miracle, God's power and intervention, and he did. And that precious child today is my darling 13-year-old daughter.
Wow. Well, I'm going to talk about some of the means of grace that the Lord brought to both of you in these hard places. Now, just to get a little chronology here, David, was your burnout experience, was it prior to all of this?
No, so Shona's talking about a time really in the early 2000 period, 2002, 3, 4 onwards, isn't it, Shona?
Yes, it was, 2000.
Whereas for myself, 2013 onwards.
So you can be thankful these didn't happen at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Nancy, listening to Shona again, it's painful for me as a husband because I look back to in these days, I was a pastor and yet I was unable to help my wife. I felt I'd been trained at seminary that something like depression, it's there must be a terrible sin in a Christian's life for there to be depression in their life. And I knew my wife was more godly than I was and, you know, more spiritually conscientious. And I knew that there's no major sin here. And so it can't be depression. I would say to her things like, I mean, when it's a tearful night we spent together, me trying to lift her up and I say, but Shona, you know, you've got a lovely home and a lovely church, you've got lovely kids. Above all, you've got me, you know. What else do you need? And she would say, David, all these things are true. But I can't stop crying. I can't stop this anxiety. It was sort of irrational. There was no logic to it. And I was totally unequipped and unprepared to deal with this. And it was at that point, really, I think Sean was very much on the verge of having to go into hospital.
Did you feel like there were others you could talk to, or did you feel like you pretty much needed to keep this to yourself?
In fact, we were afraid of talking. And again, that was a big mistake looking back.
Yeah.
We thought, well, you know, you admit to depression. The pastor's wife admits to depression. The pastor's ministry is over.
And I too, you know, was afraid that, you know, what if people say it's David's fault? Or, you know, it's irrational, but people are people. So I had this view that, and I was supposed to be a doctor and I was supposed to know, and I prescribe for patients and I counsel patients, and, you know, how come then I can't fix this?
Right.
And actually, to be honest with you, Nancy, at that point, I was convinced my problem was spiritual. I thought depression symptoms maybe, but this is a spiritual problem. That for me was the bullseye.
And I think a lot of people make that assumption.
Yeah.
And the fact is you can't separate body, soul, and spirit. So there are those components in everything is spiritual, and and we are physical bodies.
Yeah.
So you can't separate all that out.
You cannot. You can't. And that's been something that time has taught us. You can know that in theory, but you can't, you know, how often have you felt, I can't understand myself? You know, we're so complex.
Right.
Body, mind, soul, emotions.
Much less trying to understand each other as husband and wife.
Yeah, exactly. But it's good to have somebody alongside you who can step back and take a good hard look at you and say, look, I think this is what's wrong with you.
Well, that's where your father came in, really.
My father.
And I was desperate. You were desperate. And this very experienced pastor came in and really put his finger on it straight away.
Did you go to him?
We did. We called him in. And that was really a last gasp. Like, next day Shona's going into hospital if we are not helped here.
So this was out of desperation.
It was.
And you just knew he was a wise man?
Well, my father, I'm close to both my parents, but my father helped me a lot spiritually growing up. I was one of these kids who'd never had a day when I knew I was converted. So assurance was often a problem. And I always am very introspective. So we had long talks. He counseled me a lot. We were very close. And I knew he understood issues of the mind, the heart, the soul, and could distinguish and direct. And I still remember that night he'd been away. He was coming off the ferry onto our island, and I called my mom, or David did, and as soon as he heard, he came up to visit us, and he sat. And one thing that sticks in my mind is that he said, Shona, try to step outside of yourself. Try and look at this from a distance, as if you're somebody else. Because he could see I was going round in circles. Within my own mind. And if a broken mind cannot process and analyse the problem, and that was the issue. I used to get bogged down reading books like Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, John Bunyan, Christian in Complete Armour, like William Gurnall, obsessional about these books, reading things over, and I would come away just in pieces. What should have helped me, I was turning against myself, and it was all too much. It was too exhausting. And instead of helping myself, I was draining my emotions even more. Until we got to a point when David basically one day said, you've got to stop reading these books. Literally.
I even stopped her praying at one point, Nancy, because I would go up to the room and she'd be praying. I'd come back 15 minutes and she was still praying, 30 minutes and she was still praying. And I could see it was almost like a torture. I said, Shona, this isn't helping you. Let's just pray for 1 minute and walk away and leave your soul with the Lord, you know, because the exhaustion was only increasing with this intense focus on what's the spiritual problem. And I think that's where your dad, again, he had this phrase, you are experiencing spiritual consequences, but it's not a spiritual cause. The cause is mental, emotional, physical. And if you look into that, then I believe the spiritual blessings and comforts will return.
Was that a huge paradigm shift for you to think that way?
Yes and no. I believed that in theory to a degree.
Because you were a medical doctor.
Yeah, when you were treating people.
When I was treating people. And I knew my dad. I knew he was right. But there's something about depression that's almost delusional. And you gravitate towards the delusion. And your mind tricks you, convinces you that, yep, that's true, but it's not true for me. You know, there's nobody in the world who understands this. And 99% of people may recover, but I'm the 1% who's not going to. And that's the issue. And a lot of people will find talking to depressed people that they can convince them up to a point, and then 2 days later they go back and they're back in the same rut again and having to revisit the same sort of thing.
So, Shauna, I'd love to hear you restate what David just said, because I think this is such a key observation that your dad made that in your case was really helpful. Mm-hmm. You thought this was all a spiritual issue.
Yep.
And he said,
there are spiritual consequences, but the primary problem is emotional, physical problem, a burnout. And he and my mother had seen me in action for weeks, months, and had been worried that I was going to crash and burn. And it wasn't a complete surprise to him when this happened.
Did that observation free you to begin to address the emotional and physical issues?
Yeah, it did temporarily, but not in a sustained way, because again, you're dealing with something that's broken. So you can take a Band-Aid to a wound that's bleeding, and maybe for a minute or two, oh, it's fixed. But you just wait for another 5 minutes and the blood is oozing out again. And that's what it's like. Unless you deal with the underlying problem, what got you there? What can you do to remedy it? You trundle along the same ruts.
I think it was more a breakthrough for me. And it was like a light bulb moment. Aha, now I understand this. Shona's focus is on the spiritual, my focus is on the spiritual, and here a man comes in and says, yes, you're feeling spiritual effects of this, but if you want to cure this, in your case at least, Shona, you've got to start looking at the physical, at the mental, cognitive side of things, and other lifestyle issues as well. And so that gave me a framework, and so, you know, the rest of the story is us learning what God has so graciously provided for his needy people who are in these situations, to provide a holistic approach to this rather than this very simplistic one-dimensional approach that we had been taking.
And I think we have a lot of people listening right now who, as you've heard Shona's story or David's story, men or women listening, are saying, you are describing some of the symptoms that I'm dealing with. The details may be different, but mm-hmm. you just really resonated with. You said, yes, you put words to my story. And maybe you are at this moment feeling hopeless or helpless or drowning or overwhelmed. And I kind of like don't like to end a program on this note because we haven't moved into the grace place yet. But I want to just urge you to stay with us over these next few days because there is hope. And some of the means of grace that God brought into David and Shona's life are going to be very encouraging to you over these next couple of days. And maybe it's just by starting with that breakthrough awakening that there are physical, mental, and emotional components to our lives that have spiritual consequences. Just ponder that. Think about that. And then I want to encourage you to be sure and join us on the next Revive Our Hearts as we talk about Shona Murray's new book, Refresh, Embracing a Grace-Paced Life in a World of Endless Demands.
Thanks, Nancy. To get a copy, call us with a donation of any amount and ask for the book, Refresh. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit reviveourhearts.com, make your donation of any amount, and request the book there. Do you ever worry that God is always unhappy with you? Tomorrow, Shona Murray will talk about the temptation of perfectionism. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wacklemuth wants you to be healthy in every way,
It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.